Hi, this is Casey Treat. I'm pastor at Christian Faith, and we are excited to have you with us on our podcast. Thanks for joining in. I'm praying that you're going to hear a word that will inspire you, empower you to connect with Jesus and become more like him. That's what we live for. That's what's happening on today's podcast. All right, let's keep it going on this foundation's message. Caleb's up in Mill Creek today. Baptism is on today. Jesus said, those who believe and are baptized. Baptism is showing outwardly what you believe inwardly, right? So if there's no outward sign, then it must not be real on the inside. So baptism is one of those things where it's like, well, why did the Lord want us to be baptized? Really? Are you asking God why he does what he does? No, we just obey the Lord. We don't question God. We obey the Lord. And baptism is called a burial in the New Testament. We bury the old person, right? How many have a husband who needs to get buried? The old husband, the bad attitude, selfish one. And then we don't leave you down. We lift you up. We have strong men in the baptism. And they lift you up. And the Bible said, then you are raised up to newness of life. So it's a burial and a resurrection. So you're saying my old man, my old woman, my old person is gone, and I'm a new person in Christ. That's why we get baptized. So after service, we'll have baptism after our next service and next week. So if you've not been baptized since you became a Christian, we hope that you will be and follow those steps of the Lord. Jesus was baptized too, right? So in Matthew chapter 7, Jesus said, those who hear and do these sayings of mine is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came, the floods came, but the house stood. He overcame the storm, and he was well. But those who hear and don't do, right? You hear about baptism, but you don't do it. You hear about giving, but you don't do it. You hear about prayer, but you don't do it. He's like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came and the floods came and the house crumbled. So foundations, what are you building on? Are you building on the rock of Jesus Christ and his word where you'll prosper? Doesn't mean you won't have some storms, but you'll overcome those storms. You'll get through them. You'll rise again. You'll come back stronger. Or building on sand, following the world, believing what the world says. You believe Twitter is more true than the Bible. You believe the news media knows more than the Lord. So you build on sand, and then the house crumbles, divorce, disaster, bankruptcy, sickness, disease, all that stuff takes over, and life gets hard. So let's build on these foundations. We've been talking about communion and the word and worship and all the various, really it's like the tenets of faith. It's the foundations of faith for all Christian people. Today I want to talk to you about your values. What you value creates value in your life, or it doesn't. What's important? What's valuable to you? What do you work for? What do you want? What do you strive for? What do you celebrate? That's what you value. The world causes funny things to be valuable. It's interesting, the things that the world thinks are valuable. I was reading this week, and did you know that a baseball card from decades ago recently sold for $6 million? A baseball card. Now, Caleb has a couple boxes of baseball and basketball cards in my office or in my basement. He's left them there when he moved out, and they're still there. I'm thinking, I need to start looking through those cards. Chris is like, I'm over there this afternoon. Who decided a baseball card that cost a nickel when it was purchased is now worth $6 million. Amazing. When I was 17 years old, I had a Ford Mustang, 1965. Yeah, I was cool. I drove it for a couple months before I crashed. You know, when you're a drug addict, you're tough on vehicles. But I recently read about a 65 Mustang, 55-year-old car, stock, bone stock, sold for $1 million. I thought, man, I should have kept my Mustang. It'd be worth some money today. Well, there's many things in the world that people pay a lot for that personally I would be like, what? Why? Why would you spend money on that? I think I told you the story. We were at a restaurant recently, and we wanted to bless some friends of ours and just take them out for a special night. But when I got the bill, I was shocked because it was a few hundred dollars for dinner. Now, in my world, there is no dinner worth a few hundred dollars. I don't care where it came from. I don't care who cooked it. I'm happy with a burger and fries. I could have spent $2.99 and been just as happy. Supersized that I'll be over the top. But for many people, that's normal. I was watching there at a restaurant recently, and my friend was telling me they were ordering wine. And I watched them swirl it, you know how they do that? Swirling it, smelling it, drinking it. And he nodded his head to the waiter as if he approved. And my friend said, he just ordered a bottle of wine that's $200. You can get wine at 7-Eleven for like $3.99. Back in the day, we was drinking Boone's Farm. Did they make Boone's Farm? No. Okay, well, for some of you or somebody out there, a bottle of wine is worth $200 or probably a lot more. Who sets those values? Who said it's worth it? What do you value in your life? What is it that you would not live without? You would make a part of your life every day. You would make sure that it's in your life, in your family, in your marriage. What's valuable to you? Jesus put a high value on loving God and loving people. And you know the scripture, Matthew chapter 22. And verse 35, they questioned the Lord. They asked the Lord, what is the great commandment? And in verse 36, Jesus said, love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind. Notice, don't casually love God. Don't love God at Christmas and Easter. Love God with all your heart and soul and mind. Get real with it. Get deep with it. Get sincere with it. Love God. And then he said, the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love people as you would love yourself. These are the greatest commandments, Jesus said. This is what's valuable to God. You might get excited about a purchase that you made or a material thing that you had. But what God gets excited about is our love, our worship, our faith in him, and how we express that to other people. What do you value? I have a ring on this morning that's really not valuable. It's not gold. It's not silver. It's pot metal. And it's got a green stone, but it's just a piece of glass that someone put green in. But it's a U.S. Army ring. And I received it when Micah was in boot camp, Micah, my youngest son. So it's valuable to me because it reminds me of him, connects me with him, who I don't see but once or twice a year as he's running around doing his U.S. Army thing. So the value is in what I think about it, what I believe about it. And that's really true about everything, isn't it? A car is not really worth $1 million unless you think it is, unless you believe it is. A dinner is not really worth hundreds of dollars unless you think it is and you believe that it is. You set the values. Have you made God valuable? Prayer, His Word, your honoring of God with your tithe, what you put into your children, have you established a value that's from the foundation of God's Word? Or are you following the values of the world? Wendy and I were laughing the other day because, you know, people like expensive things. We all do, I guess. And you see a lot of people with expensive-looking things. For instance, at the airport the other day, I saw this guy had on this cool-looking tracksuit, and he had the Louis Vuitton logos all over it. But I'm looking at him as he's waiting for the plane. You know, you're just sitting there, and you're waiting, and I'm thinking, pretty sure that's fake. You know what I'm saying? It didn't have the Louis Vuitton look. However, it was all Louis Vuitton logos. So if your life is a fake, how valuable is it? Like, I'm in church, but I don't really love God, don't really serve God, don't really honor God, certainly don't tithe to God, but I am in church. You're like a pair of Louis Vuitton sweatpants. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about your friend. Right? You and I set these values. Do we value what God values? Are our values the same as His? In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, look at it with me. Matthew 10 and verse 28, Jesus said, "Do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul." We spend a lot of money on our body, looking good, dressing good, and then insurance to try to take care of our body. How much do you spend on your soul? You have insurance on your soul? Now the government in our state, they're going to tax us so that when we get old, something will take care of us. Well, what do we call that? The new tax? Long-term care. The Washington Care extortion, tax. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying. So, okay, I need long-term care for my soul because I don't want to be a grumpy old man. I don't want to be a depressed old person. By the way, we're advertising for seniors ministry, and Wendy and I think Wendy and I are in the seniors group now. We used to have Wendy's parents lead our seniors ministry. Now we're the parents. But Jesus said, there's something more important than insurance on your body. It's your soul. But rather fear Him who's able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin, and not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will? The very hairs of your head are numbered. Do not fear, therefore. You are of more value than many sparrows. Jesus said that. You are more valuable than the creation, the birds, the animals. Now, we're in a world, in a culture, we love the whale. We love the spotted owl. We love the frog. We love the eagle. We love creation. We love Mother Earth. Protect Mother Earth. What are we doing for our soul? Because Jesus said, it's of more value. We have head of major church organizations shouting out our fight for the climate, which is okay, but when was the last time he shouted out for the soul of humanity? Who's establishing these values? We have the United Nations and the president trying to save the planet. Who's trying to save the society? The soul of humanity. What do you value more? Your heart? Your relationship with God? Your prayer? Your faith for eternity? Or this world? Because Jesus said, you are of more value. What are your values? You know, your schedule, your money, your budget, your calendar. Those things show us what's important in our lives, don't they? The things that we don't give up, the things we make sure we have time for. They show us what's important. And how you work. We live in a time when many people don't want to work because there's other ways for them to get money, and so they'd rather not work, which means their talent is not valuable. Their gifting is not valuable. Their part in society is not valuable. Their addition to the society is not valuable. If I can stay home and just get a check, whoa, praise the Lord. Well, don't praise the Lord, because God says your values are in the wrong place. What about the value of hard work, the value of work ethics, the value of investing in your people, your company, the co-workers, your relationships? What about those values? Hey, if I can get a free check, I'm just going to stay home. Are your values from God? Or did you get your values from a corrupt world? Here at Christian Faith, we have around 50 to 60 staff members. You know, they're doing buildings and church, children and youth and all the different ministries. And so we say, here's our values as a staff, as professionals, as co-workers. Number one, we want biblical values like holiness and faith and living a spiritual life. If you don't have those values, you won't last on our staff here at church. That's what's valuable to us. And then our professional values like taking initiative, being optimistic, having strong work ethic, and a curious intelligence. Have you ever worked with the person who does what he has to do and doesn't even want to think about anything else? It's like, I didn't ask me to do it. I don't even care. Not my job. Yeah, you should work for the government. I think you would fit right in. But we want people with a curious intelligence and an optimistic perspective. How can I improve? How can I add? How can I go farther? How can I do more? Those are the professional values that make people do great things. I would think you would want that in your church. You would want people who are not just punching a time clock, but have values that add to the organization. And personal values like integrity, unity, honor, excellence, keeping your spirit, soul, and body healthy. These are the values we talk about in our staff meetings, and we're asking our team to hold these values and live these values. You know, the little things that you value every day will decide the big things that could change your life. Wendy and I are praying with our grandchildren now. And we pray some of the same things we prayed with our children. And we have them confess the word. They say how God loves them and how they love God. And mom and dad love them. And they love mom and dad. And We prayed that with our children. It's a few minutes every day. And now with the grandchildren, and we're seeing that impact on a generation. Not a big deal. But the little things you value could make a big change in your family and in your future. What do you value? What's valuable in your life? You know, Daniel's a wonderful book of the Bible. And Daniel was an amazing man because actually he should have been defeated and discouraged. His country was defeated by Babylon. Israel was totally destroyed by Babylon. Babylon is Iran, modern-day Iran. Back then, Babylon, led by Nebuchadnezzar, conquered most of the Middle East. His temple was torn down. All his symbols of God were destroyed. His parents were killed, and most of the people he knew were killed. And he was taken captive back to Babylon. He's in a strange land, a new language, a new everything, culture, style, so different from Israel. But Daniel kept his faith. And he had three friends. Do you remember the name of his three friends? Well, we probably remember the Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But do you remember their Hebrew names? Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah were the three friends of Daniel. And they were actually taken by the king into the palace and made part of a special college program, a three-year program, where they, with other Babylonian kids, would grow up to become advisors to the king. Interesting that the king wanted advice from young people. Now, he had lots of other advisors, but he wanted to hear from these young men. So he set up this program, and he said, you're going to eat the same food I eat, drink my wine, eat my meat, and be in this program for 3 years, and then you're going to become part of my council. Well, Daniel said, nah, we're not going to eat your food. We're going to stick with our Jewish diets. We're not going to drink your wine. We'll live the way we've always lived. Well, at first they were upset. Who do you think you are? I mean, you're in the greatest nation of the world. We're bringing you the king's diet. He said, yeah, we're not going to eat that. And Daniel and his three friends stood strong and disciplined themselves. I mean, the average young people would be like, bring on the king's wine. Woo! I love these Babylonians. They said, no, we're not going there. And at first, the staff members that were taking care of them, you know, the heads of this program, they were upset. They said, man, you're going to look bad. You're going to be unhealthy. The king's going to blame us. Daniel said, test us. 10 days. Test us. After 10 days, they looked healthier. They looked stronger. They were more fit. They were more sharp than all the other kids in the program. And so they lived that way for 3 years, became part of the king's council. And then one day the king made a statue. And he said, the whole country is going to bow down and worship my statue. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not. The king got upset. I'm going to throw you in the fiery furnace if you don't bow. They said, yeah, well, go ahead. We don't care. How are you strong enough to stand against the idols of the world? Well, you start with the meat and the wine. And I don't mean you shouldn't eat meat or drink wine. I don't drink wine, but I do eat meat. But the point is you discipline your flesh. You have values from God. You don't just go with the world. You don't just follow the culture. You don't just swallow everything that's dished out by the media. You don't drink the Kool-Aid. Because one day they're going to put up a statue. And they're going to say, worship me. Only those who have been building godly values all their life will be strong enough to say, nope, not gonna. Well, we'll kill you then. Go ahead, I'm going to heaven anyway. Well, the king knew these kids. Remember, they were part of his council. The king said, come on, Shadrach. What the heck, bruh? It's not that big a deal. Music plays, yeah, yeah, yeah. Shout, shout, shout. You're okay. Nah, not going to do it. I have values. I have other things more important than your statue. I have other things more important than likes on Facebook. I have things more important than followers on Twitter. I have values beyond what you can give me. And the king switched. Now remember, the world will switch on you. One minute they're loving you, the next minute they're destroying you. One minute they think you're the greatest, the next minute they will take you out. The world is schizophrenic. And the Bible said the king's anger was enraged. And he said, heat that oven up, that fiery furnace, 7 times hotter, and throw those Hebrews in. And the men that threw them in the fire died because it was so hot. But the 3 Hebrew children just walked around in the fire like it was a steam room and a sauna. They're like, we kind of like it in here. And the king looked in there, and he saw a 4th man. And the king said, it looks like the Son of God is in there with him. We threw 3, and now there's 4. How did he know who the Son of God was, what the Son of God looked like? Somehow, God spoke to him and said, bruh, you better check yourself before you wreck yourself. And he said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, come on out of here. And they climbed out of the fire, and the Bible said in Daniel chapter 6, they did not smell like smoke. Not a hair was singed. Don't worry about what this world says. Don't listen to everything the world has made a mandate and an issue. You keep your values with God. You keep your hair on. You keep the smoke off of you. And you know what happened? This to me is one of the most amazing parts of the story. The king switched again. One minute, he's so mad, he's heating the fire 7 times, and then he said, there is no God like the God of the Hebrews. And in Daniel chapter 6, the king literally says, if anyone says anything against the God of the Hebrews, we will make their family a house of dung and destroy their home. Wow, king, chill. Just going from one thing to the other, one radical stance to a new radical stance. That's our world. They have no values. They just jump from one thing to another. They're making up issues that aren't really issues. Relax and get your focus on something higher, something more important, something eternal. But you can't stand against the fiery furnace if you can't stand against the king's meat and wine. And you understand my point. We eat meat, we drink wine, that's cool. But your values, what's important, your prayer life, reading your Bible, giving your tithe, serving the Lord, bringing people to the Lord. What's important to you? What's valuable in your life? It may not seem that big a deal now, but one day it's going to be a big deal. People you're close to show the values you hold true. In Amos chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, can two walk together unless they are agreed? Who's your homies? Who do you spend your time with? Who's important in your life? Maybe you can't see your values, but do you see their values? In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, the apostle writes, "Do not be deceived." We deceive ourselves, don't we? We trick ourselves. We say, it doesn't really matter. Who really cares? God doesn't care. Not that big a deal. We deceive ourselves. So the apostle writes to the church, don't be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. And I speak this to your shame. What's valuable if you're dating? Okay, young people, I'm going to talk about you, or old people that are dating, whatever. If I'm talking about you, keep looking straight ahead, no one will know. What do you value in someone you would date? Oh man, he's got great hair, and he's got a nice booty, and okay. So when the booty sags and the hair falls out, what you got left? What's valuable? Well, I love the way she can dance at the club. You ever seen that girl at the club? Okay. I hope she stays dancing all her life. But there's probably going to be a day when your relationship is struggling. Maybe your finances are struggling. Maybe your health is struggling. And you're going to look at your spouse and you're going to say, what have I done? And all you can say is, can you dance? What do you value? What do you value? There's things that the world says are important. But the Lord says, when you're facing the fire, they won't help. So our values must come from God. And here's something that we often forget. We feel like we can just kind of coast in life. We can just live in neutral. I'm in church. I mean, Pastor, back up. Get off of me. I'm in church. Chill. You're never just coasting. You're either reaching for God, building your faith in God, growing your values with God, seeing God's will in your life, or you're walking away from God. You're feeding your doubts. Fears are getting bigger. Worries are taking over. No one's in neutral, church. You're either moving toward the Lord, are you moving away from the Lord? You're either seeking God or losing God. That's the real world. You're either building your values with Him or you're building your values with the world. You tell yourself, it doesn't really matter. Pastor gets all fired up about this stuff. You know, he's kind of weird. My spiritual father, Julius, he couldn't say weird, so he would say weary. It's kind of weary. Yeah, I know. You think it's weary until the fiery furnace comes, until the gates of hell have come against you. And then you remember, Jesus said, in the church, the gates of hell will not prevail. Hope it's not too late. Hope you didn't miss your opportunity. So relationships, the people around you, often define your values and your future. Will you bow to the world? Will you let the world define you and mandate to you and tell you what's important and what to think and how to live? Or will you find your values in God? Find your values in your faith. Find your values in His Word. Because what you value will decide how you live. Let's close our eyes together. Father, I pray today that your word is working in our lives. Your word is taking root. and bringing healing, bringing renewal, bringing change, that we could build on the solid rock and the storms of life will not take us down. Thank you, God, for strengthening, for lifting, for empowering each and every one in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. I want to pray one other thing before we go today. I want to pray that you are born of God and that you are filled with the Spirit of God. Wendy recently taught about the power of the Holy Spirit. And I think in each of our campuses, we had close to 100 people filled with the Spirit, praying with the Spirit. That's one of those values that's easy to let it go. No big deal. Who cares? It doesn't really matter. But the Bible said when you pray with the Spirit, you build yourself up on your most holy faith. To be born of the Spirit and to be filled with the Spirit will decide your destiny, your eternity. Sitting in church does not make you a Christian any more than sitting in a garage will make you a car. It's about our values. It's about what's important. It's about what we believe.
Thank you so much for joining with us today. I'm praying that you heard something that will impact your life. If you'd like more information, connect with us at the Christian Faith Church app or go to the website at christianfaith.us.